I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
And then 6 months later, while shopping for slightly damaged Timberland chuckers at the Gabrielle Brothers department store, I happened to run into Rakia Curry, who had sat in my classroom at Wilkinsburg as an approximately inappropriate 14-year-old freshman. Now 16, Rakia had a job at Popeyes on Penn Avenue and was beginning to make the transition back to being an actual human. I liked her. She saw me and greeted me the exact same way every single student would when they happened to see me outside of school. Mr. Young, I didn't know you shopped at Gabe's. For the record, I'd also at various points during my teaching career heard the following. Mr. Young, I didn't know you went to church. Mr. Young, I didn't know you got haircuts. Mr. Young, I didn't know you went to Kennywood. Once, while at Giant Eagle, I even heard, Mr. Young, I didn't know you ate food. Apparently, the students assumed we teachers stopped existing when they exited our classrooms.
I used to think that.
Like motion sensor lights with sentience and homework assignments. Now, Rakia was tiny even for a teenage girl. She was barely 5 feet tall and maybe weighed 95 pounds. She also spoke in an aggressively delicate whisper. You'd hear the sound of her voice and you weren't sure if it was her talking or a kitten laughing. As I was leaving the store with Brian, she waved at me from the driver's seat of a car she was driving. This tiny and mousy little girl, just 2 years earlier, once asked to be excused from the room while I showed the class Michael Jackson's Thriller video because it was too scary. Had a fucking license and was driving a fucking car. All the driving related tasks I allowed to frighten and overwhelm me were apparently mastered by a girl who still shopped at Kids Foot Locker. This broke something inside of me. Not a levy releasing a new and advanced hyper specific strain of shame, but specifically relief. Seeing Rakia's Lilliputian ass pushing a 2,000-pound Chevy Malibu dissipated all of the daunt I'd attached to doing it myself. If she could do it, I totally, definitely, absolutely could. I also felt, well, stupid. So fucking stupid. Like the dumbest motherfucker who ever lived, I'd allowed this task to become such an albatross that it blinded me to the fact that the source of my shame was about the solution. I, a 26-year-old man, hadn't yet done something that 16-year-olds regularly do, which also meant that this impossible task was something 16-year-olds regularly did, so it couldn't be that fucking hard. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Saturday afternoon. We had to do it at a special time because we had the memorial for Karen's mom, so
we did.
We had to start a little later. I was thinking about just taking a day off, but Karen was like, let's do it. So
let's do this.
We in here doing it. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, wherever you're listening to us now. Search the Blackout Tips. Go to our website, theblackouttips.com. Leave comments, vote in the polls. You can leave voicemails as long as they're 2 minutes or less at 704-557-0186. That's 704-557-0186. And you can email us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. We'll be going through all of your stuff that you sent us. We'll go through your 5-star reviews on Stitcher and iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff. We'll even talk about the money you guys donated. But first, I just wanted to say this excerpt that I'm reading is from Damon Young's What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Blacker. And I love this because I do this too. I get this inside my head. There's normal shit every day people do, and sometimes I don't know if everybody goes through this, but sometimes I'm the one that's petrified of these things, and I don't know why. There's no necessary rhyme or reason. And then after a while, not doing the thing makes it become bigger than it was,
right?
So now it's a hurdle of, for example, not learning to swim is a big one that a lot of people have, right?
Yeah, me
you're
included.
Like, right, when you're a kid, you're like, I'm gonna learn to swim, or you know, hey, swimming, you know, people swim all the time. And when you get older, you know, and I'm not talking about the specific racialization of swimming, but mm-hmm. when you get older, you're like, oh yeah, I should learn to swim. And then you get old, and then eventually it's like, I can't just go to day camp and learn to swim. I can't just go to summer camp and learn to swim. I can't take a swimming class at school, learn to swim. Now I'm an adult. I have to now pay for a class, go to a special place, get special clothing to learn how to swim.
Yes,
and
sir.
Now it's a thing. And now that it's a thing, I don't want to do it. You know, and one of the things that has consistently been the thing that got me over the hurdle is seeing how mundane this thing that I put on a pedestal of, not even a pedestal, on like a top of a mountain that is like a fear mountain, that is like, you can't do this, it's too scary. That thing often,
sit your ass down,
is often a thing that a lot of people do. And not just that, but let's say you do fail at it. Now, in the case of swimming, you drown and you die.
Right.
But in most cases, let's say you fail at learning how to swim. It doesn't mean you drown and you die. You're at the YMCA in a pool. Someone will save you. You'll be okay.
Yes, they will.
But in general, even failure, there are options around failure.
Mm-hmm.
Even failure, you can learn. You can continue. Maybe it takes you 3 times to learn how to swim. Maybe it takes you 3 times to learn how to drive. You know, but it's funny because we find ways to cope with these things. I can't drive, I'm taking the bus everywhere. I'm getting Ubers, I'm doing this. But I'm at the mercy of some other person at this point.
Yes, you are.
You know, and there's also give and take, right? Well, I can't drive, but hey, at least I don't have to pay a car bill.
I ain't got to put gas in it.
Not knocking that, but just the fear of it. It's like a skill you should learn and you should have. And I know that's been a thing for me with certain hurdles, and one of the things that really pushed me over the edge for a lot of stuff was looking at other people and being like, well, if this other person can drive a car, why am I so scared? You know, if this other person knows how to swim, why should I be afraid to learn how to swim? You know, so that's what it made me think of.
And it was just listen to that until you read that, it was hilarious, because I was that child who, whenever I walked out the classroom, I don't know why, but I thought the teachers just, I guess, went into the back room and just popped out the next day. Cause when I saw a teacher somewhere, I'm looking like, you do shit too? Like, until I got older, it was a huge disconnect that the teachers have lives.
Yeah, especially if they're like kind of younger.
Right.
And it's like you forget that they're not, like, while you're in the classroom, and plus you're young, so you think like you're 13, 14, 15. You think 30 is like about to
ancient.
Die.
They're like, gonna croak tomorrow.
Right. You're like, there's an old dead person in my classroom. They don't know the latest dance and shit. But then you're out at the mall one day, you see a teacher and you're like, oh, that's right. They're a human fucking being, you know? So yeah, that's definitely something that I've, you know, experienced or whatever.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things where, you know, when I got older and I realized teacher had kids, I was like, you a teacher, you got kids? Karen, they're human being. But like I said, I was one of them, you eat two type of children, because like I said, in my mind, for whatever fucking reason, it was a disconnect.
Yeah, life must be so weird for teachers, because also when you're in school, at least for me anyway, I know I had like tremendous respect for the role of a teacher. You know what I mean? Even if I didn't necessarily think, even if they weren't a good teacher.
Right.
I just, in my mind, teachers, they run the world. Then I became an adult, and you live a life, and you see that teachers don't get paid well.
Mm-mm.
You see that people don't respect teachers. People,
right.
You know, teachers oftentimes work, you know, 3/4 of the year or whatever, and then they have like the summer off and they got to get another job.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to pay for their school supplies. Like all the things you learned as a kid about respect your teachers, teachers have an important job.
Right.
Whenever someone wants to demean an athlete or a rich person, what do they say? I mean, it's not like they're a teacher. Teachers and doctors should be getting paid the most money, blah, blah, blah. But our society absolutely does not feel that way about teachers.
Agreed.
So yeah, I had all this reverence, and then you see them out somewhere at Chipotle, and it does blow your mind. You're like, what? Teachers just go to Chipotle? I thought they ate in the Library of Congress because they're so important in learning all the time, and they're so smart. So yeah, it was definitely a thing for me to see like a teacher at the mall or something.
Yeah, and when you were talking about like that hurdle of something that's, it could turn into something bigger when you look at it, and you know, you look at like, well, this little girl who's a fraction of my age can out here and do this shit, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the world's gonna end, I don't know what to do. When you like, oh, this is shit that people do all the time. Depending on what it is, I can be like that, but I have always had the type of personality, I was like, okay, let's do it, you know.
Yeah.
But when it comes to swimming, it's one of them things where I was like, oh, I can't swim, my black ass ain't getting in that water. We having a pool party, but I'm not going. You know, they was like, wow. I was like, because motherfuckers don't realize when somebody tells them that you can't fucking swim, they want to throw the joke out there. We'll throw you in the pool. The fuck you will. My black ass ain't coming. Right. Like they don't understand the fear and the panic that comes over people. Or when you go, I don't know how to swim. People go, oh, you can swim. No, bitch. I wouldn't lie to you about no shit like that. When you got to come and fucking save me, you can be like, oh shit, she was telling the truth, bitch. Yes.
Right. But you know what's funny? That's also your fear talking, because that doesn't happen that often. You know what I mean? I'm not saying never.
Right.
But most people that you care about that are your friends, if you say, hey, I want to go to the pool party, they're not going to be like, well, now I'm going to drown you because I would like to murder somebody during my birthday.
And that was that fear talking going, well, I won't be there then.
Right. And I know for a while you took like water classes at the YMCA.
Mm-hmm. I need to do that again. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and my parents put me in the YMCA classes, and then that's how I learned to swim. And then also I learned, when I was also in a summer camp, you know, we would go out, they had a pool and lifeguard, and I would swim it there. So, but yeah, it's just funny because I remember the anxiety of swimming. And honestly, I still would have anxiety to this day, I'm sure, if it was like jumping off the diving board into the deep end or something. I don't know why, but the height always bothers me. I know mentally it's nothing different, and I've done it before because you have to do it to pass swimming class. It's like the last thing is jump off the diving board and then swim to the shallow end, and then you can get out. And you do need to learn that lesson, because the thing that it takes away from you is the fear. Because once you go through it, you're like, oh, why the fuck was I tripping? Like, it's like, not only is it not scary, it's fun. No, there's only two type of people that drown, really. Overconfident people and people who freeze up because they're scared.
Right.
You know, and so you kind of want to be in the middle. Like, I'm not, you know, overconfident. I don't think I can just swim across a lake or some shit.
Right.
But, like, at a pool, like, I can go in a pool and swim. And, you know, I'll stay in the middle to shallow end and stay out of the deep end. I'm not one of those people. But, yeah, I just think it's kind of interesting because those things become bigger and bigger as you grow up. You think they will become smaller, but now it's like a fucking thing. I can't swim, and now I have to dictate all my, you know, issues through this. And the other thing that's weird is you went swimming in Jamaica every day to do the thing, and it never occurred to me that you don't know how to swim. I should have been scared of shit and been like, what the fuck are you doing in the water? You know, but you made it fine. You were like, you were able to do it or whatever, but you know,
because when I took the adult class years ago, there's some people, just the water itself starts to panic. Like, they don't want their face getting wet, none of that. Like, the water itself does not panic me. So I can be in the water. Mm-hmm. You know, I can, on the shallow, I can sit in the water with the goggles on. Like, that part doesn't bother me. My panic comes when I can't touch the ground anymore. That's when my panic kind of touches me. So I was like, okay, let's go. I found out how to wear properly, strap my life vest on. And I found out that, the life vest was designed to make my black ass float. Mm-hmm. So I was like, precaution. So I would, because I knew I couldn't swim, I made sure all the precautions on top of the precautions worked so my ass wouldn't drown. So I got my ass out there and had a good time. But no, I was snorkeling every fucking day, and no, I couldn't swim, but I was having a ball. But like you say, it's strange that I don't know how to swim, but my black ass got out there. I was like, come on, y'all get out here too. They're looking like, but Karen, you can't swim. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. So that's why I say I need to know how to swim, for the simple fact that I know that it will be a lot more enjoyable to me.
Yeah, you should take another class, man. All right, that is today's Reading Rainbow. Butterflies in the sky. I can go twice as high. Twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. Open that book. Reading Rainbow. Get your ass to reading. I can go anywhere. Take a go. Please to grow. A Reading Rainbow. I can be anything. It's in a book, a Reading Rainbow. Reading Rainbow.
Okay, remix.
I just need people to say that I also sound happy when we sing the song. I'm sick of being left out. There's too many people out here talking about how the joy in Karen's voice. Like, it's not two people in the studio.
You trying to outjoy me? I don't think that's going to happen.
Well,
sir.
I just did. You've been served.
No, you cannot outjoy me.
Right in, everybody. Let her know that I'll make it to pole because I clearly won today. Nice try. All right.
Before we move on. Like Roderick said earlier, we had the memorial service. And, y'all, it was actually beautiful. We was talking about on the way home. It was a nice service. And it was like a family reunion. I walked up in there. I hadn't seen family members in like 20 years. I was like, good God, I ain't seen y'all niggas in forever. So it was good to get to see family and friends and loved ones and things like that. The service went really, really well. And my mama, she has, well, my aunt who raised me, y'all. My mama, she has a green, what they call like an extra green thumb, because some of our friends had sent like flowers and stuff to her house. And I know they've been there about week and some change, but I'm not talking about plants, y'all. I'm talking about like flowers. Them bitches were still shining. I was like, oh my gosh, she kept them things alive all this time. I don't know what kind of green thumb she got, but Lord knows she got a green thumb. So when it was over, they was like, we got some plants. You, I said, no, don't. You giving to me, the countdown will be on to their death. Give them to my mom and let her have all the oxygen and extra fresh air in her house so she can breathe all the air, because they're going to die at my house. And all the plants and stuff people got, they done grown 3 inches taller. I was like, mama, yeah, you keep all that stuff.
Yep. Also, thank you to the people that donated to the Facebook charity.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. It meant the world to me that people thought enough about me to do that. So I want to tell it. I went from zero to whatever that amount is. So thank you.
Yeah, it was a nice, happy time. I enjoyed myself. The pastor, of course, did preach, even though they said, you know, just to give words of encouragement, he went ahead and went into the full, you know, gave us a sermon.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, because preachers preach. That's
you know what was going to happen. Yeah. I was waiting on it. I did realize that I don't know any of the church songs. only one I knew for sure was the one that everybody knows, which was that last, like, amen. That song. I knew that one. So I was like 1 out of 5, guys.
Because I raised the church 5, most of those songs are very traditional, particularly if you go to like AME Zion's Baptist type of churches. It's them songs where you don't even need to pick up the hymn book after a while because you done read them. Even if somebody remix it, you know, just how to kind of go. You know how black people is. You're going to have different versions. So one person singing, three people singing in the background, their version of it. And so that's, you know, because we Negroes. And so that's how it went. And everybody just clapped and sang along and had a good time.
Yeah. But like I said, as a heathen, the way my heathenry is set up, I didn't know none of them songs.
Go ahead.
They had some good food afterwards. You had fried chicken, baked chicken, macaroni and cheese,
green beans, peach cobbler. Then they had cakes and teas and all that type of stuff. It was one of those things where when they was like, oh, go this way, you open up a door, you go down the hallway, you turn the corner. It was like a map. Mm-hmm. So once you got to the end, it was like, what? All this food back here. And they literally, everybody in the sanctuary might as well have came and got food. Everybody could take to-go plates. The food was good, y'all. We had a good time.
Yeah. So it was good, man. Everybody was, you know, there in a positive spirit. Mm-hmm. So that meant a lot.
It did. It wasn't stressful or anything. So I'm just glad that it turned out to be a very positive event. It was a lot of love, a lot of talking, laughing. I got to see some of my friends that I hadn't seen in forever. One of my friends, she's somebody who I've known her for a long time. And we don't talk that often, but anytime we talk, it's kind of like you. I'm like you. We pick right up like we never skipped a beat. And that's how it is. We might not talk for 10 years, but when we talk, hey girl, how you doing? How your baby's doing? How your husband doing? That's how it was. Like we just keep it talking. You know, I was with her when we've been friends when she was with her first husband, got divorced, she's remarried, she has another baby, and I've been there just cheering and supporting her on. And it's just one of those things where people take true friends for granted, and people think that friendship means we have to be all up on each other all the time. But that's, in my definition, that's not always true friendship. And people have things to do and families and lives to leave and stuff like that. So it felt really good to see her.
Yep, my parents came, my niece came, niece's mother came. Like, yeah, it was just cool. It was like a very positive atmosphere. You know, I know for a while, you know, you were just wondering if you were going, all this type of stuff. But you know, it's that kind of thing where I think you only get events like this. They're literally one-time events,
right?
And you know, I think it's one of those things where you regret it. If you may regret it if you don't go.
Correct.
But you almost never regret it for going. For me, that's been my experience. And I'm the kind of person that I'd rather live with, I went and it wasn't good and I didn't appreciate it and I wish I hadn't gone. I'd rather live with that than the regret of I didn't go and now, you know, I have to wonder if that was the right move for the rest of my life and I can't make it up, you know.
Right.
Cause I know something similar happened with my brother, you know, for his wedding and stuff. And it was a situation where I wasn't sure if I was going to go and all this stuff. And I went, and not only was it great, I had a great time.
Me too.
Met my in-laws. They're great people. And great road trip and all this stuff. But like, you know, it's one of those situations where I know that if I hadn't have gone, it wouldn't be the same.
Right.
You know, now that's a happy quote unquote occasion, but in a way, this is a happy occasion.
It was.
Because, you know, this is about the connections that we form in life, and mm-hmm. people's memorials, funerals and stuff is really for the living.
Right.
And it's a celebration of like their life tied all these people together and brought all these connections, and there is something positive about that, you know.
Right. And it's also one of the things where people told stories about my mama that I never heard of, and it was laughter. It was like literally laughter, a lot of smiling,
right,
you know, a lot of happiness, you know. Even when the preacher was talking, he's like, "You her daughter?" I said, "Yeah." He's like, "I can tell by that big old smile on your face."
Yeah, we were sitting right in front of that big picture, and the picture, y'all really do look alike, you know, like y'all favor a lot.
Yes, we do.
So, you know, especially when she had the fro and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I loved that picture. When I was going through her pictures, I was trying to figure out which one that I wanted. And my mama has like an old school picture, like in her 20s. And it was a gorgeous smile. And she had like a really, really big fro in that picture. And I was like, I want this one.
Right.
So, shouts out to my Aunt Debbie. Lord, you know what? Have y'all ever had an aunt that she's just the best aunt in the whole wide world, and y'all never met a better person than this woman? That's how my Aunt Debbie is. I've never met a better human being than her. And she literally will give you everything, the clothes off her back. If you need it and she got it, or she gonna make it happen. She's been like that all my life. And I told her this is the picture I wanted. So when she initially tried to get it done, it was like one of them tinier pictures. So she was like, well, they said that they couldn't do this and blow it up as big as you would like. So what she did, she took it and did some photocopying and finagled and took them like a larger version, and they took it and they blew it up, and they made a really beautiful picture in the urn. Y'all, the urn was gorgeous. Urn, if I'm pronouncing that right.
You're right.
Was gorgeous. I got one with like these rose petals all over it, and it was absolutely beautiful. Yeah. I'm so, because like I said, I was debating on if I wanted to go. But I'm glad that I went. And I, you know what, on hindsight, I think I probably would have regretted not going if I would have opted not to go. But like you say, sometimes you have to come to your own conclusion. So it was something I was like, I don't know. But then in my heart, I was like, you know what? Yes, I'm going to go.
Yeah, it's funny because Karen was, you know, debating this earlier in the week. And I was, you know, I'm not a pusher. So, you know, she was like, I might not want to go. I might not feel like going, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking my whole time, like, you are definitely going to want to go. You definitely going to end up going. You would regret if you don't go. I didn't say any of this.
Right.
Because I was like, at that point, I'm like, you got like a week and a half to make up your mind. But slowly, you know, I can see her be like, yeah, I am going to go. And I, you know, at the time, I was like, well, if she's going, obviously I'm going to go. Because, you know, can't have you out there by yourself, you know, depending on how, because you never know, it could have been a really sad occasion, and then, you know, you don't want to be driving home and stuff,
right?
So I'm like, obviously we're going together, blah, like in my mind I had already blocked off this whole day. I didn't even think we would be doing the show, but yeah, she, you know, I just, but I wasn't gonna tell her, like, listen, I know you're gonna go, you need to go.
Let's skip to the end.
I'm gonna go, I'm not going to do anything that day, I'm just gonna set it, like, I just was like, I'll just wait for her to get to that point. So yeah, I figured we would get there. Now it was for the best. So all right, now we can get into the show, right, guys?
Yes.
Some of you guys did give some money to the show.
Money, 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 money.
Okay, and we do have to give you guys your shout out.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
New day, new pay. Yvonne M. Thank you for the recurring donation. Adam S. Michael S. Anna P. Tom W. Jr. Noel W. Bomani Jones of highly questionable high noon and the right time and just the evening, everything. He's just everywhere. Google Bomani Jones. He's everywhere. He's blowing up. He's doing big things. Miss Hathaway, Laura E, Rita Mae C, Pete B, Renate M, our girl Olivia from Chicago, Ricky A, Pretty Ricky, what they call him, David from Brooklyn, Black Film Press Comics, Laura F, and that's everybody. Thank you for the recurring donations.
Thank you.
It's so hard to look up when you look down. I sure would hate to see you give up now.
God, people,
you look so much better when you smile.
Now every day ain't gonna be perfect, but it still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on,
today's a new day, but there is no sunshine.
Nothing but clouds and it's dark in my heart.
It's hard and it feels like a cold night.
Ain't easy, but
today's a new day. But tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy
that you promised to tell me is alright?
The truth is,
I almost gave up of my power that I can't explain. Fell from heaven like a shower and
I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still
I smile. Even
and
when it hurts me, I smile.
Yeah,
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still,
I smile.
Hallelujah.
I smile.
I show up when you down.
I mean, ha ha ha, I'll have a great time, yay! See how happy I was that song? That was, I'm happier than Karen, everybody.
Look,
let's get
you
to,
are not going to out Casey and Jocho.
You didn't laugh. You didn't laugh.
Ooh, yes.
You didn't laugh during the singing, and you did no runs. Please write in, everybody, say how much better I am. All right, let's get to.
Do we need to talk about your insecurities? What is happening right now?
I'm just trying to win, okay? Everything's
there's
a competition.
Not a, no, it's not a competition.
And I'm behind. And I got a lot of catching up to do, apparently. All right? A lot of people writing in about all this joy, okay? I want to participate in some joy.
They know you happy too.
They didn't write in about it. Let's see. We got 5-star reviews.
This trick is not gonna work. I don't know what's wrong with you.
After the 8,000th time, you don't want to seem a little insecure about losing your top place at the top. I'm gonna see why you're so threatened. Interesting.
No, I'm not.
It's just interesting to notice. I mean, it's fine.
And not out threatened because.
Okay.
The joy in me.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
So it does sound like it's a competition. Okay, all right, cool.
It's not a competition. No, yeah. It's not.
Because you're winning. It's not a competition when you're at the top.
Of
I get it.
It's
I
not
get
a
it.
Competition when you're at the top.
Exactly. After the 8,000th time, 5 stars. This is from Random Moob. Random OOB. I recently read that a person has to hear a marketing message 7 times before taking an action. With the blackout tips, I probably heard the give us 5 stars reviews directive about 800 times. I guess we're not that effective at marketing. The 801st time, here I am. Thank you for producing this show.
Well, it did work.
3 to 5 times a week, every week. I've learned so much and had my perspective change on so many topics for the better over the past 4+ years. Continue keeping it 100%. Well, thank you.
Thank you, and I'm glad we finally wore you down, baby.
Some people it takes 800 times, and you know what? I'm okay with that.
I'm okay too. We're gonna keep on doing it.
Beautiful Minds, 5 stars. This is from Hardy Girl, who says, I am sad, angry, and disappointed.
What happened?
It has taken me so long to do a review for one of the most relatable podcasts of our times. Effortlessly entertaining, hardworking, insightful, and smart. Rob and Karen don't necessarily demand their audience be better people or agree with their perspective. Instead, they lead by example by striving to be better themselves, and that is inspiring as hell. And then they hold out a hand to the rest of us episode after episode and say, you can come with us if you want to. I cannot express enough how much I truly believe Ron and Karen act with the best of intentions. In our hot take culture, intentions are unpopular and inconvenient, and mostly because of a few who hide behind them to avoid accountability. But if we're being real, if we're really honest, we dismiss intentions because to value them will require we have patience and compassion to consider the humanity of imperfect people and view societal issues with nuance. Oh, and they are funny. They've managed to find the right balance of breadth and depth when covering pop culture news and politics, and they always find the funny angle, even if it's just to keep from crying. Also, if you listen over time to Blackout Tips, you get to know Roger and Karen are individuals and as a couple without feeling like the podcast is just a way to compliment themselves or air their gripes with the world. When Ronaldo and Karen go on a rant, it feels earned. They are genuinely interested in and passionate about the subjects of their fury. Moreover, as a born and bred Southern Black woman, made in Louisiana, live in North Carolina. Hey, Louisiana, fast. I appreciate the love that chicken for Popeyes. I'm sorry, I had to finish it. I appreciate the representation. P.S. I'm not only a listener, I have been a sponsor. Triangle Wine Company. Oh,
hey baby,
Earl's my girl. Working with the Blackout has been a rewarding experience. P.S. Friendly and professional. They have always gone above and beyond, often with hilarious results. They inject energy and personality into every ad, and I'm truly grateful. As a small business owner bobbing and weaving in this economy, I don't always have a budget to demonstrate my gratitude, but I hope this review helps. Girl, you know it helps. I think her name is Tiffany, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you, baby.
I hope I didn't guess wrong. But absolutely. And you were a pleasure to work with, man. We try to make it easy as possible to do advertising stuff with us, it's just a fine line because you have a rate that you should earn, right? And Black people, we always taking less for doing the same, if not more work, right? And as a small business owner, I know you understand too, like, there's a certain level of like, yo, in order to maintain my integrity, I want to get paid my correct rate, right?
Right.
But we've been on a lot of stuff. You know, people are willing to work with us. If, you know, there's been times where people will be like, well, I can afford, you know, to do an ad for 3 days. And I'll be like, well, let's, you know, we'll stretch it to 5 or something. We'll give you a couple free, depending on what the business is, who the person is. There's been times where, you know, I ask the person, what's your budget, you know, and we see if right. if there's something we can do. Also, you know, refer them to other podcasts, because like, just because you can't afford our rate, we don't ever want it to be like, well, then, because I think other podcasts need help and advertising helps them too, but sometimes people just want, you know, just the one podcast they listen to or whatever, right. I get it. So anyway, all that stuff to say, like, you know, she was a pleasure to work with. And then it was also fun because we were able to like have fun with the ad and turn it into like a whole show. And, you know, and I really did enjoy and do, you know, that stuff. We still probably got wine in there.
Yeah, we enjoyed going and trying to find some cheese and crackers.
Right. It's like, let's make it a thing, because like the ingenuity and creativity is the thing that makes, I think, advertising dope. Because I want it to be fun and I want it to feel different than other shows. Because, right. You know, another show, they read 60 seconds on your ad and whatever. And there are some ads we have to do like that, you know. Can't all of them can't be, you know, because depending on how, you guys don't know, but behind the scenes, some of these sponsors are like, read our shit exactly how the fuck we said, you got 60 seconds, don't explain deviate. All this shit, and don't be making no jokes about our shit, like, get in there and get it out, right? And you never want to, like, make them not get their money's worth, so we, you know, for them people, we do it that way, but... You know, we had fun. I remember we used to do Bevel. I made a Bevel rap one time. Like, So yeah, I'm glad to hear a sponsor has appreciated us going above and beyond and doing the extra thing instead of just doing a live read, or not the live reads aren't good, we're good at that too. Mm-hmm. But you know, I appreciate that they appreciate it.
Same.
All right, we got one 5-star review on Stitcher. Black as the Pit, 5 stars. So Black as the Pit is the name of the person who left the 5 stars.
Okay.
The name of the review is Beat the Brakes Off of You. I've been listening for a strong year now and finally decided to leave a review of my favorite podcast. This show has been life changing and gives me the culture supplement I need as I remain a Southern guy that has transplanted over to Phoenix, Arizona. The chicken has no seasoning here.
What?
Oh no, that's hell.
Oh no, there's some black people out there.
Yeah, you gotta.
Yeah, you gotta get with the right crew.
I don't know what you're doing. The chicken don't have no seasoning, mm-hmm. man. I don't know how white Arizona is, but it's got to be an enclave of blacks. Somewhere, right?
In the corner somewhere.
You know what you gotta do? You gotta do what the people did today. Find somebody having a funeral or memorial.
And show up!
Wait till the family leaving. Get a to-go plate.
We wouldn't have known. You could have walked off the street. But now, here you go. Here's the to-go plate. There's plenty of food.
There's no way we knew all them people. Okay?
Mm-mm.
It was a good 10 to 12 people. I knew they didn't know nobody because they came in like suits and shit. I said, hold up. Who are these black people?
Ah!
By the end, it was like some white people and shit. I don't know what was happening, but I know they got some chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Karen got, oh man, sometimes I wish I had a TV show, cause I could make a whole episode about going to church just cause you miss black food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't that be a thing? Like, you go, like, you don't even believe in it, but you just keep coming up with excuses to hit that after church meal, mm-hmm. try to slide in, slide out. That would be a funny TV show.
Yes.
Karen put something on my mind when she brought up the old Negro adage, I'll beat the brakes off of you. What does this phrase really mean?
Right.
I believe I'll come up with the answer. When one is going to beat the brakes off of you, they simply mean that they are, that as you stand there, assumably stuck in one spot, talking mess, ready to fight, or just plain looking stupid, foot on the brake. Once I hit that Hadouken, your feet will begin to move fastly, quickly, LOL, in a direction that is opposite of your current. Thus, the brakes have been removed.
Yeah, they have.
Maybe. Literally, your guess is as good as mine. I really don't know what the fuck that means. I just know I don't want it to happen to me.
No, I don't want nothing beat off of me.
Yeah, I will beat the brakes off of you. I'm really trying to think what possibly fucking mm-hmm. meant. And how long have we been saying it? Have we only been saying this since the advent of cars?
I know that is like a Negro spiritual. Somebody say that, everybody better be looking like, oh.
Were we saying it when there was like horses and buggies and I will beat the horseshoes off of you? I don't even know what you say. Beat the reins off of you? I don't know. What I do know is, please don't beat the brakes off of me, okay?
And don't beat the black off of me either, and don't beat me to the white meat either. I'm good on all those beatings.
There's only one type of beating off that goes on around here, guys. All right? Not doing the rest of this stuff. All right, let's get into the comments on the episodes on our website, theblackouttips.com. No comments on our first episode, which is the feedback episode, 2029, which was, I think, Lovers and Friends. But we did have a poll. Are you planning on having sex in 2020? Yes or no? Karen?
Yes.
Well, obviously yes, then. I was gonna say no, but I guess yes.
There's something you wanna tell me?
No.
Is there been an android in this house? The fuck is this?
Anyway, 74.
I like somebody. I mean, was I doing it with somebody that, well, you a robot, remote in, what is this?
I'm Mr. Manhattan, I could be in the mode in one place at once.
Apparently so.
Working on the podcast, having sex in another room, playing Borderlands 3. yes, 74%. 26% of y'all said no. Saving it for marriage. I don't blame you. Okay, that's how Sierra got Russell Wilson. What Brooklyn Shoebay says, see, what had happened was my boyfriend and I broke up in June in an ugly way. He's a narc and I got discarded. I'm in the healing mode. Sex would be really nice, but I'm not planning on getting any. If I happen to pawn some sex, it would be really nice. How do you happen upon some sex?
Yeah, if the sex just come moseying on around my way, I won't say no.
Yeah, how does one happen upon sex?
Yeah,
I mean, in a consensual way. Obviously, I don't want.
Yeah,
yeah, not the way that like Bill Cosby happens upon sex. I mean, no, how does a normal human being in a healthy, functional relationship mind? How do they happen upon some sex?
Yeah, you just moseying about your way, and you know, all of a sudden, you know,
ooh, piece of candy.
That's how it is.
Oh, some sex. You're
like, ooh, you know what? We can do this.
You just walk into a room that you don't know what's in there. You're like, oh, it's sex in here.
I guess I'll be participating. I just happen upon it.
Mm-hmm. The other day I happened upon some sex, and I got to tell you guys, it was pretty good. I'm just not in an emotional place to develop any type of relationship for sex, and I've never really been the tender hookup person. So my copay for this therapy session will be in the mail. Nah, I don't blame you, man. I guess you can't force it, you know.
Mm-mm.
And you only you know your emotional health, man. Like, there's nothing worse than, you know, trying to get into you're not in a good place and you bring somebody else into it somehow, and now, you know, you got to deal with the fallout from that.
Mm-hmm.
Stefan Edmond says, to be honest, I have been ghosted so many times. This year, I don't think I will be having sex. Now, did I vote yes in the poll? Yes, I did. Because I do plan on having sex. Well, like all plans, they usually take longer than expected and don't always go as planned. Love y'all. Well, Stefan, I think you need to see if you can happen upon some sex. Okay,
yes.
I think maybe you just start hanging out where Brooklyn Shoe Babe hangs out, and you just like put a sign on your shirt or something that's just like, just some sex.
If you happen upon.
If you like to happen upon me, let me know.
Let me know. Let me know.
Okay. I'm going to be in the Brooklyn Library. Okay. Just happen upon my sex. It's totally fine. All right. We had episode 2030, Pink Tacos. We had Justin on this show. Everybody loves Justin.
Yes.
We had comments. JL says, this was the best Reading Rainbow segment, and I'm disappointed that no one has accused me of creating a different account to leave that 4-star review criticizing Reading Rainbow. Well, you know why no one's accused you, JL? Because there's nobody that would think you would hide behind an alias.
No, you just come out and tell us.
If you were gonna, when have you ever said something horrible to me that I disagreed with? And did it from behind.
JL is, I'ma say it to your face type of man.
Yeah. It's why I respect hate you. You know?
Right.
Cause it's like, at least he said it to my face, but obviously this is some coon shit hating Black Panther. Catrice 206 says, I officially nominate swords as a new official weapon of the show. LOL, priceless moment. I don't know what was going on.
I don't know. I was just off. Something was off.
El Jefe says, Tekashi 69's bodyguards are essentially the equivalent of big insurance. When you get sick and really need the insurance, they are like, whoa, 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 now this isn't what we signed up for, sicky. Right?
You expect us to pay out? No.
Wiz Khaleesi says, I love that name. I wonder if there are quesadildos on the menu.
That's a good one.
Oh yeah, case of dildos, and you could top them with some jalapenos. All right, let's get the next one.
Some slaughterlingus.
Sure.
Slaw. Yeah, I couldn't help myself, y'all. I couldn't help myself.
Well, you got one in.
Thank you.
Poncho says, sorry, but we can't give Tyler Perry a pass. Because we would give anybody else who has the resources he has a pass if they had a show called Sisters with no Black women writers. Well, I feel what you're saying, Poncho, but I'm going to be real. I'm not part of that we.
Me either.
I was willing to watch Confederate, so I'm definitely not in the group of people that would have been pissed about that if it was someone else.
Yeah, it's a group of people and they just, you're just mad and it's okay. Like, it's like, fuck him forever. Cool.
Yeah, my man Stereo Williams said something on Facebook that I think people should really take into account. He was like, there's a difference between critique and condemnation.
Right.
And people need to figure out which one it is they want and which one they're doing. I don't think people are critiquing Tyler Perry. I think they're condemning him and they wish he didn't exist and they wish his work didn't exist.
Right.
I think at this point, you're the one that's being unrealistic if you say, I watched a new movie and I didn't like it and I'm gonna watch the next and I'm gonna complain about that. Now you're unrealistic. I just want you to be healthy and safe. That's all. I tried my best to watch the new movie because people said it was his best work. No one said that. You know no one said that, Pancho. Let's be honest. That's not how it went viral.
Mm-mm.
The movie went viral with people saying it was his worst work.
Right.
People was taking pictures of wigs. There was not one single review you read that said it was good. Let's just stop with the lies, man. We gotta be real. If you're gonna write into the show, I just demand raw intentional honesty. That's all.
All I seen was jokes. That's how I even knew it was after jokes.
Yeah, maybe they laughingly said it was his best work on some, like, it's the best satirical, like the best one to mock, but no one saying this is his best work.
Mm-mm.
I haven't seen one person say that.
Nope.
And I know there's always a person that says everything. I haven't even seen that motherfucker.
Right, it always pops up.
Like, there's not even, like, on Twitter, there's always someone going viral because everyone disagrees with them and they keep retweeting it over and over. Not one person. Like, I'm sorry, but it's not, we all know this is not true. Anyway, I could only make it to the 15-minute mark. My question is, why can't he be do both? High quality for the niggas who like Atlanta, mm-hmm. Insecure, and Blackish, and bullshit for the people who like The Pains, House of Pain, The Have and Have Nots.
Nope. Because that's the thing. You don't demand this on other writers when you're talking about demanding shit. You don't go to other people and they go, well, make some shit for people that are not your audience.
Like, yeah, we don't say, Issa Rae, make something for the people that watch Tyler Perry movies.
Right.
We don't say that. Mm-mm. We go, Issa Rae's in her lane, doing the work she wants to do. We don't demand that she represent all black people.
Right.
And we don't bash her. We don't use that as a cudgel against her. Like, you don't represent all black people. And the people who do that to every black artist, I don't like them.
Me either.
I don't hang out with those kind of black people. I think those motherfuckers are a real drag, man. They're just not good people to be around. The people that elevate everything to, like, this super duper cause of, like, unity of blackness is, like, who the fuck as a creative wants that kind of pressure on them? We don't put that pressure on anybody else. So I don't like that shit. You know? And down the line, by the way, if Lena Waithe is a lesbian woman, I don't expect her to make all her movies have to represent all lesbian or LGBTQ people properly or else fuck her. I don't know why people do that, because once you put that expectation on something, you know, people, no one can live up to it because we don't have a unity of opinion. And then you're just using it to, you know, like I said earlier, to condemn them. You're not critiquing, you're condemning.
Yeah, you just don't want him to exist. And the thing is, you know, you can always opt out. What about you opting out?
Right.
Like, you act like Tyler Perry is supposed to cater to me. No. He's a creative. And creatives just create. And you as a consumer, you determine if you want to consume it or not.
Your first and foremost audience as a creative is typically yourself.
Right.
So if I like what I put out, y'all can't do shit about it.
Mm-mm.
You know, matter of fact, what we do is a podcast. We've had people write in with their criticisms and what we should do and change. And sometimes, you know, we've taken, okay, maybe we can try this. And other times it's been like, yeah, I think I like what I do more than I care what you think about it.
Right.
And people can't relate to that until they're on the other side. But that's how I feel for sure. I don't care what people think about Reading Rainbow. If I like it more than I like it more than I like their opinion of me. So we do Reading Rainbow now. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also for me, it's one of those things to where, like I said, you're making a demand on him that you don't make on other creatives.
Right.
And, you know, and it's also one of them things is that you're acting like you can always not watch. You can, because that's the thing. A lot of times, put it like this, I don't care about what people like and don't like. Like, that, like, for me, that's not the problem. The problem is the people that don't like shit are so fucking vocal.
Right, they
were like, I don't like it. Okay, you don't like it. Okay, you didn't like the last 25 movies. Okay, calm down. Nobody gives a fuck that you don't like the 26th movie, and that's right. That's the part that you don't want to hear.
And I think they're
people telling y'all, I've had enough of you.
And I think they're being dishonest, because who the fuck watches 26 movies and keeps watching the next one talking about they hate it? So at some point, either you lying, or you're one of those people that, what they say, repeating the same thing, action expecting different results, is a definition of insanity. So you're either insane in that way, or you're fucking just lying to everybody, and you actually do secretly love telling everybody how fucking bad it is, and how you can grandstand in your blackness and say how bad he is for black people and how great you must be because you hate him. So
right. And also for the average person, when they don't like shit, guess what? They don't talk about it, they don't consume it, they stay away. Like most people, if they go, well, I don't like this, they might say I don't like it, but guess what? That's the it for the average person. They're not going to continue to consume something that they don't like.
Like, if we don't like Adam Sandler, no one goes, well, Adam Sandler needs to make a movie for the people that don't like his other movies. Why? And then there's always a part that they skip over in this, because it's inconvenient. Tyler Perry movies make a lot of money,
right?
And they go, well, you only say he makes a lot of money to defend the fact he's not good. No. Mm-mm. I'm agreeing with you. I don't think he's very good at it. I don't like the work, right, for the most part. What I'm saying is, what's the reward system that you want? Because the people that see his name and go, I want to see that shit, are not going to like the high art Atlanta shit. When they go in there, that audience is going to feel betrayed. No one thinks about this audience, because everybody thinks they're better than these Southern black women. That church going, they everyone thinks they're better than these people. So everyone's like, we'll make the fucking Atlanta for like the movie, but with Tyler Perry's name on it. And those people are going to walk in there and go, that was some bullshit. I want my fart jokes. I want my cussing. Nobody popped a cap up in here. Like, I don't like this. So I think if you really truly respect black people and black art, you have to be like, this person found their audience. I'm just not in it. And that's their right. And I'm cool not going to see it.
Right. And the thing is reconciling and being okay with it, because this is the thing. Tyler Perry overserved and super served a market. Like this is a market out there, y'all. That's why it's making so much fucking money. And people go, I don't understand. You're not his market. Right. And so you were never going to be fed by what he put out there. He oversaturated a market that was dying. A market that was like, give me something. He served them. And so they were dedicated because he actually met their needs. It's the same thing with black women. Rihanna. Rihanna came out with her makeup. She served the underserved market. So people paid her money because all of a sudden I can get some shit in my color and I don't have to mix and blend and all this shit, use two shades. But Rihanna gets praised for that though, right? Because it's makeup. So rah, 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 Rihanna. Rah, 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 somebody, a black woman that feels this hole, and black women kind of be like, ooh, I need this. And then they get paid, it's a reward. But for some reason, when it comes to Tyler Perry and him rewarding his audience, everybody goes, fuck that. But this audience still needs to be served.
Right. Because what they want, and I truly believe this, they want his audience not to exist.
Right.
They want his work not to exist. They keep talking around it because they know that saying that is essentially, you know, anti-black. Because they're only saying it under the auspices of blackness. They're not saying it because there's plenty of terrible quote-unquote directors and movie makers that we just don't see their movies. So you're not saying, there's a reason this man has to change everything, because you need to instill some type of black pride about his work. And I'm just like, I checked out on that. I don't need that from him. I don't need that from anybody, to be honest. I think the idea of these people being individuals is probably the most radical fucking idea that can exist in blackness. It's the hardest one to get to, and we all have our moments where you just can't make it there with people, but that, to me, that's the ultimate thing, is being able to, the day that I'm able to say Ben Carson is out here cooning and doing fucked up shit and it has no reflection on me as a black person, that'll be the day that I feel really free. Until then, I'm always trying to get everybody to essentially live up to some level of respectability. That's what I'm doing. I'm not just saying individually I don't like your work. I'm going, you must change your work for the goodness of the race. Well, then that's not really freedom.
No, and diversity. And the thing is, people go, we're not a monolith. Well, being not a monolith means everything don't have to be high art. Fart jokes is a part of the monolith too.
Right.
You know, telling raunchy stories and sex stories, that's black shit too. Black people don't, and the thing is, y'all lie about so much stuff because the shit that y'all quote unquote, a lot of people claim they want, people won't fucking watch.
Right.
You don't watch the shit.
And where's the money coming from then?
Right.
Like, no one likes to, these are the questions people don't like to answer, man. Like, when they had these critiques, it's, so why should he listen to you? Cause it's gonna come down to some black respectability shit. There's no good answer for why he should have to listen to you that's not couched in some level of, I find this to kind of be embarrassing to me personally as a black person. Cause there's no fucking reason he should listen to you. He already told you he don't care about white people awards. Right? He said, well, y'all was worried about a seat at the table. I made my own table. He don't care about that. So you just have, for me personally, I reconcile it by, I respect that man's path that he is taking on his own. Not a big fan of his work. Don't mind that he exists. Don't not bother by it at all.
At all.
And if I find something reprehensible or whatever, I don't watch it. But guess what? I don't watch anything reprehensible I don't like by people. So it's not, you know, and then and I take it one step further. Sometimes I enjoy bad shit.
Correct.
So I'm gonna partake in this bad shit because I find it to be enjoyable. And it's a shame that, you know, everybody can't get like me and find their happiness in it. But cool. But you're watching this literally with your fucking like respectability lenses on, being like, I need this dude to do something for blackness. That's it. Don't forget that him and Oprah even had a falling out because she wanted him to get writers. One, I've not heard that story, but I don't care. Y'all don't like Oprah every other week too. So like, what the fuck? Today, oh man, gotta listen to Oprah. Tomorrow it's gonna be, she better not run for president. And then the next day, she out here doing documentaries about black men, the sexual predators. What about Harvey Weinstein? I don't know what the fuck y'all gonna think about Oprah next week. I like Oprah too. So I'll just leave it at that. I don't really have a problem with Oprah either. I got love for him, but I do want him to do better and think that's everybody's criticism about his work. No, it's not. I put it this way. I don't know you, Poncho. Maybe you really are the last and the most unique nigga on the earth, and you truly do think 50 movies in, he's gonna get it right. Maybe that's really how you feel. I don't know you, so I can't say. But not knowing you and knowing people that have said this same thing.
Right. That's what I'm speaking to.
I know this much. I don't believe you.
Mm-mm.
And I don't believe them either. I don't give a fuck. They could be my best fucking friend. They could tell me that shit to my face and I'm gonna tell them, I think you're lying. You either in denial or, cause I don't want to say you're dumb, but I mean, made this analogy with Justin the other day. It's like watching the NBA. I'm watching James Harden. I know how James Harden plays. Imagine that I keep going, well, I'm waiting for the day where he stops playing like James Harden and starts playing like another NBA player that I do like. That's ridiculous. I'm the one who's, you would look at me and be like, Rod, what the fuck is wrong with you? This dude has won 2 MVPs and or whatever the fuck, and he's averaged the most points in the NBA. This is his game and this is how he's gonna play it for as long as he can. And I go, nah, but I think if he plays like LeBron James, you'll be like, Rod, something, you're gonna go crazy watching this man's games, getting upset every time you watch him play. I'm saying this as a friend. Don't do it, right? That's how I feel like my friends would tell me if they saw me hating on James Harden day in, day out, right? I feel like that's what y'all are doing with Tyler Perry. I feel like you are my friend who has a fucked up significant other who you love to complain about, but you won't break up with him. And god damn it, I got a lot. I don't have many anytime minutes, okay? My anytime minutes are running the fuck out. And I don't want to be on the phone with you all day, wasting any time minutes, listening to you complain about this nigga over and over again. It's the same complaints from the last movie, right? And the movie before that, and the movie before that. It's too fucking much. There's a couple highs within his entire catalog, and a whole bunch of lows you don't fuck with. I don't know what to tell you, dog. You gotta let it go. For your sake, not for me.
Cause I don't want to see y'all mad all the time.
Right. Cause I could continually cook off of this nigga making these movies.
Me too.
For the rest of my life. I'm never gonna get tired of these movies. I'm never gonna get tired.
In fact, I want him to bring back the Boo series. I want a Boo 3.
I don't know what to tell y'all, man. I'm sorry that y'all are upset, but yeah. And the other thing too is like, when we're like, I can't give him a pass, nigga, Tyler Perry don't know you. Like we elevate our own entitlement and importance when we do this. Like, I gotta hold Oprah accountable. Oprah doesn't, she will never hear what you said about her. So like, what can we control? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you can't be upset, blah, 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 but just this idea that you're holding them accountable with your comment on our podcast that she's never heard of. I'm promising you, you're not. Nothing's happening. You can start a petition. She'll never see it. And if she does, she'll, you know, it'll be a GoFundMe. I mean, what else? Petition.org websites, and there'll be fucking a million signatures. And you know, she'll be like, tuh, I'm not doing that. Right? That's just how it is. These motherfuckers don't, they're not sitting around trying to please us. And especially when they are being fed by these other people's money. They're never coming around to you.
Mm-mm. They do not miss y'all dollars. I hope y'all understand that. They are not missing your protesting. And for some of y'all, it's a faux cop, because the shit probably wouldn't trend it on Netflix because everybody hated it. Some of y'all watched it.
Yeah, so anyway, man, good luck with that, though. I mean, like I said, I just see it differently. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, Poncho, but I mean, you represent, and I'm glad you wrote in, because you represent a lot of people who say these things.
Right, and that's who Mo we're talking to.
Like I said, I don't mean it to be disrespectful, but I just simply cannot believe you, and I don't feel like you're being honest with yourself. I think if you were honest with yourself, you'd realize that it's not about hoping he gets better. It's really about hoping he goes away.
Right. And doesn't exist.
Yeah. Because every time someone's like, well, he could at least fund other people's work, who's going to be the person that picks whose work to fund? Him? So you think he's going to pick people that do the opposite work of him? No, he's going to pick people that do shit like he likes for his audience, who likes the shit that he does. So you're just going to get T.D. Jakes, you know, producing, or, right, you know, I'm producing the T.D. Jakes show now. That's just what the fuck it's going to be, man. Style Nosh says, I can't believe Justin said very casually, are there any games today? What? My team has battled a multitude of misfortune for 50 years, including the Madden curse this year that Rod so eloquently pointed out earlier in the season. They delivered some of the most entertaining football games in the last two seasons to reach back to back AFC championship games, and Justin is talking like there may be a pickup game of touch football going on later at the park. You hate to see it. As a regular, faithful listener to Balls D Sports, to not hear one peep from Rod, Karen, Justin about the epic Kansas City Chiefs comeback against the Houston Texans, that hurt. But maybe it's my fault for not writing into the show. Okay, before we go in, definitely your fault. You know, we don't talk about y'all little sports games on the sports show.
We talk about the shit that really matters. Baby mamas.
You want us to talk about sports on the sports show? You get that up front and write in, and we can give you the full breakdown of the numbers and stuff that we're not gonna do, but you can write in and we can talk about what we've seen.
We talk about leg locking.
If you weren't excited enough to write in, how can I be excited enough to talk about it? You know, I watched like 3 minutes of football, and I bought a pair of Colin Kaepernick shoes. Okay, guys, I'm boycotting. I've been telling y'all this all season. I'm off of the NFL. Okay, I only catch it for 5 minutes before I had to take my old man couch nap. I haven't really been watching.
Yeah, we talk about Instagram thotting.
Yeah, I told people years ago, I've been falling off of football for a long time. And sure, if I can focot now, I guess I'll join the focot.
Yeah, because
so,
we don't got red zone.
Yeah, you know, got to get the people that hate, that was talking all the shit, and that I wasn't joining in the protest, even though I was telling them I'm not really watching football as much because I just don't, it's not as good as it used to be. So anyway, I haven't been watching the games. I've seen some of that comeback because I think we went to a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went to a bar and we saw the comeback live. I mean, when it was happening, I said, these niggas gonna come back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then of course the Titans game, I mean, that shit was boring. The Titans shouldn't even be out there with Kansas City. Kansas City's too good. And honestly, the only thing that can happen coming out of this Super Bowl, I mean, the Titans have to win. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs have to win, or else your man Mahomes has failed all black people. It's really a zero sum game. So I hope he wins.
Yeah, and you talking about somebody that won her own fantasy football league and didn't even realize it.
Karen didn't even know she won the fantasy football
league. I thought I was out the playoffs.
We don't have red zone.
My team was bad. I was like, cause I always play to the end. My team was so bad. I was like, well, shit, I'm out the playoffs, but I'll keep playing. Fucked around and win. Right? Something, you know you won. I was like, bitch, no, I didn't.
Right. So, okay. It's no offense to you. I appreciate you writing in, but if you want us to talk sports, please write in, cause I want to talk about Cam Newton cheating on his baby mama with another woman.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm trying to talk about Antonio Brown 911 call. I'm trying to talk about Drea putting up a picture of Russell Wilson with baby Future, talking about what I got to do, Sierra, for me to get a man like this.
That's the type of sports we cover.
That's the sports show, okay? This motherfucking is Eli Manning Hall of Fame. Nigga, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Those are sports topics. Who cares about that shit? And why don't they call it the Hall of Accomplishment? Because it's not the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning is famous. He should be in the Hall of Fame. If we're talking about the Hall of Statistics, then of course not. He's sorry as shit. Had like 3 good games. Like, anyway, just saying, sports talk is stupid. But that's okay. I'll keep riding for my Kansas City Chiefs wave all the way to Miami. And I'll keep listening to Ballsy Sports too. Hey, that's what I like to hear.
Thank you.
I mean, how else will I know that Cam Newton's out here getting caught up in the leg lock? See? This is the work we do.
See, yeah.
This is our mission at Ballsy Sports.
We keep y'all informed on the stories that nobody else is covering.
He literally was balls deep. Okay.
Yes, he was.
Right up our alley and her alley. I mean, let's be honest, that's why we listen. Love you guys. I always love when Justin joins the regular show. Styles Nosh in Atlanta, KC native. Go Chiefs, go Chiefs.
Thank you, baby.
I hope y'all win, man. What's the other people playing?
I don't know, but I'm rooting for KC.
49ers. 49ers are the other team playing, and I don't like them. Like, there's nothing about their team that I really like. Good team though, you know, they only need to play one good game, so hey, maybe you just, I don't know, maybe they can do that thing where they just run the ball a whole lot and Patrick Mahomes didn't get the ball. You know, Super Bowls always be weird as fuck anyway. It's always some stupid shit that happened, like the sorry team, it be raining or something. It's always some weird shit that make it like it's gonna come down to the fourth quarter, you know, at least lately. But I, to be honest, I'd love to see like Kansas City go just blow these niggas out. Just like, not even like, we only watching for the commercials. I love to see that.
Yeah, I always come for the commercials anyway.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Evie says, I bet the dildo tacos ladies customers are always wondering why the tortillas taste so yeasty. Yuck. Thank you, Evie. The poll should Instagram inform you when a pic has been altered. Yes, we need to know the truth. No, I don't want to know. Karen,
I don't want to know.
Okay. 66.
I actually don't care.
I say, yes, we need the truth. 66% of people agree with me. 34% of people agree with Karen. The reason no comments, by the way, but the reason I like this idea is because, honestly, for the kids, you know, I think the body image issues.
Okay.
That,
so from that perspective, because I was just thinking about for me and as an adult.
Yeah.
But yeah, for children, yes. But no one said that this is the before and after or something. This picture has been altered.
Yeah, I want them to be like, look, man, I don't, you know, this is Photoshop.
Yeah, nobody's body actually looks like that.
Yeah, so don't like fucking try to kill yourself to look like this woman who clearly just is using a whole bunch of, you know, angles, filters, and Photoshop.
Come on.
EVE says, I agree with you. Oh, episode 2031, The Water Warehouse. And this is a momentous occasion here, guys. So be ready for EVE's comment. I agree with you on Burger King. They are doing the absolute most. They seem to be throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. I knew something was up when they started selling tacos. Burger King is trash anyway. Worst fast food, fries, and burgers taste like charcoal. Doesn't even come close to Arby's. Wow. We agree on everything but the last sentence, sis. I'm gonna take this as a victory.
Take it as a win.
Yeah, I'm moving on to the next topic.
Don't look a gift horse in the face.
The poll was, should the Puerto Rico emergency director have to go to jail? Yes, that was criminal negligence, having all those supplies in the warehouse. No, it was messed up, but not a crime. Karen?
Yes.
Wow, you Negroes always love to send somebody to the prison industrial complex. Why can't we just have prison abolition and a person like this that is in charge of life-saving resources and dozens of people die? Why do they got to go to jail? This is just like the Flint thing all over again. I'm sick of jail being the only solution you guys will look into.
But then what is the option that we would both?
We will talk to them nicely. We will say, you should not have done that. Bad job. And then they'll learn not to do it again. We leave them in charge because, I mean, why should anyone, you know, we don't want to hurt their feelings.
I disagree, homeboy.
Okay, well, I guess you and everybody disagree. 94% of y'all basically said, 93% of y'all said they should go to jail.
Lock them niggas up.
7% of y'all agree with me that they should be free to just do it again because fuck it. What are rules? Why do we even care? The last episode of the week was 2032 Panic Culture. All right. And we talked about a lot of stuff. All right. The opening Reading Rainbow was about how social media changes our creativity. Miss Barnes 72 says, thank you for your perspective on panic culture. I was that person that watches the news all the time, but the way the news tries to make everything panicky, I will either read the news from BBC or I'm going back to reading newspapers. Yeah, I also read my news from the BBC. Okay, you know,
y'all talking about
they do a lot of good work.
No, two different BBCs, two completely different, like, BBCs.
Karen, please, the BBC featured on Blacked Raw.
I don't think she's talking about that BBC. She's talking about the British Columbia.
The British Broadcasting Company. Okay, yes. My bad. Okay,
that BBC.
Yeah.
They both own films, but they two different types of films.
They do good work.
Both can inform you of shit, but they inform you in two different types of ways.
Okay, no, I thought she was talking about like Lexington Steel, Mandingo, you know, them people. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I get it. My bad. Total. Forget what I said, guys.
No, she's talking about shit to tell you what's happening near a Big Ben.
Okay, just complete misunderstanding. My bad. Just clarify next time. Can y'all write it all the way out? Cause, that's just not what I've been told it means. That's all. Felix says, really love the Reading Rainbow segment. I keep finding myself starting to get mad at things I see on the news and social media, catching myself and just logging off of Twitter or turning up off the news before I stress myself out. Even with using social media way less than I used to, every time I took a look at it, it always gets harder to not just keep scrolling, which is very bad, especially when the time I can spend doing creative things is limited. You both really hit the nail on the head with the discussion. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Another thing I've been doing lately, I didn't realize they added this feature on Facebook, and maybe they've been at it, I just didn't realize it, but you can like choose to unfollow people in your main feed without unfriending them, so you don't have to worry about their hurt feelings and
that
shit.
Is the best shit ever. I actually use that a lot.
Yeah, because some of these people, man,
some of y'all too much.
I think it's the algorithm though, because I'm sure they find me too much as well, but it's like it's like Facebook seeks out these people that like, you gotta interact with this, look at their opinion on this, and
the most interacting. Okay, bitch. And right, it don't mean it's all positive,
so I just unfollow a lot of people now.
I do too.
Trey writes in, thanks for the Reading Rainbow segment. I think one of the key things is obviously people not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. It boggles my mind when I see folks on social media let strangers take them to that stressful last place. Right? You always make a good point, pointing this out on the show, that you never know what a person's motives are for posting wild shit online. Yeah, you don't, man. The other thing I'm realizing too, man, like, it's about that time for the primaries. They're heating up. And people's opposition research is starting to come to a head, and you know, the fans online that do the kind of cult of personality thing for these politicians are going back and forth. And one of the things I realize is I can post an article, an opinion, and I just don't have to interact with you.
No, I don't.
I don't owe it to anybody because not everyone's in good faith.
Interaction is not guaranteed, nor is it promised.
I prefer to talk to people I know, hopefully in real life, or not at all. And so, you know, that's why I put on my quality filter. That's why I'm not normally in my mentions going back and forth with people anymore, because it's just like, it was not healthy. I was in a bad place. It's putting me in a bad place, and anger feels like power. So at that time I never felt like I was in a bad place, but I was, and I only know so now in hindsight. Well, I'm like, I shouldn't have been arguing with some fucking like anime avatar nigga all day. What? That's not good.
Anime in animal,
right? Landscapes. Dude with shades and hat on. It's just, it's a bunch of just no
horizons of the sun coming up. No, thank you.
Right. And some of those people are going to be good people, real people. I don't care.
Mm-mm.
Put your face in your fucking avatar.
Right.
What's going on with everybody? Like, what are you saying online is so scary? You gotta be like, I'm just gonna make myself a cartoon because don't nobody need to know I'm over here saying this shit. I'm scared. Like, I don't like that shit. I don't like that shit. I wish there was a way to be like, not just the, just all cartoon avatars. No. Like, be a real person.
Eagles, flags.
Yeah. Maybe a caricature of yourself would be okay, but not, no, like, Bob's Burgers is yelling at me talking about, I don't see what's wrong with Joe Rogan saying the N-word. You know what? Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to you.
No.
Okay? I don't believe Sasuke Uchiha would have this opinion, so I'm going to need you to chill the fuck out.
He would actually be against this.
Right. listen, in the Leaf Village, we listen to Joe Rogan's podcast all day, and we don't have no problem with him.
Mm-mm. Naruto would not go for that.
One thing I learned for myself is to try, and I stress try, to use the platforms for good in some kind of way. Whether it's bringing awareness to causes or unjustly situations, or in my case, I use to educate myself or get advice from pro filmmakers and screenwriters I follow on Twitter. Use the platform for some kind of good. That's smart. If you can, and just keep strolling past the bad. Thanks again, Rod and Karen. Yeah, to be honest, man, like, what I'm trying to do, and it's hard because, you know, I'm a human being, and it's like the quickest thing you can do is just like fire off a tweet or something.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to do is try to remember my lane is funny.
Right.
And go back to like, what can I don't mind commenting on things, but how could I get to the funny in the thing rather than the first thing? Because the first thing I think most of the time is not funny. Especially when it's something serious. Like I'm normally pretty mad. But I can point out the irony or the funniness or the this isn't like this or people say this thing but then they do this thing. You guys hear it on the show all the time. I'm sure some of y'all are sick of it. But that's how my brain works, and that's what the fuck I'm gonna do, you know? So if I can find that, I don't mind talking as much. But sometimes I can't find it, and there's topics I just don't talk about because I'm like, this shit is stupid, or what I'm gonna say is so obvious and not funny, I just don't want to contribute. And then sometimes the joke will hit me. I'm like, boom, that's the joke. So Evie says, I really love the joy in your voice when you sing Reading Rainbow, Karen. See, here we go. Here we go.
Thank you, baby.
And that's why Arby sucks. It's my new favorite segment because not only do I learn things, I get my life when you sing the song.
Thank you.
I saw the latest Tyler Perry movie on Netflix and it was a hot ass mess, and I loved every minute of it because I laughed and laughed. The key to watching Tyler Perry movies is to suspend disbelief. Don't try to think too hard about it or else they're not as enjoyable. Yeah, I mean, I'm just here for my stories. Honestly, I want Netflix should put this out in the theaters for a week. I'll go see it. I don't give a fuck if it's a Fathom event. I'll go see it.
Yeah,
I'll pay the extra money. I'll go see it with my folks. If the Black Hollywood
Sisters. Oh, that'll be fun.
If we could rent out a theater and sell the tickets and just have a private screening of Tyler Perry, I would do this for the folks, for the culture, for the people that give a fuck, that want to have a good time. And for the ones that hate, I'll show you how to have a good time. It's so much more fun than what you doing. Like, damn. Nobody think it's good, but we are gonna have our fun.
Yes, sir.
Last but not least, I'm probably gonna get called a coon for this, but during the white people segment, in my opinion, I like the original white versions of the song versus the covers, although the black covers are way better than when white people cover black songs. Still, some of those white songs slap. Please don't come for me, Willie D.
Oh, we won't, baby.
I'm not gonna say a single bad thing about you, Evie. Mm-mm. That's your prerogative, and that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it lends to equality that we have diverse opinions of people that write into the show.
Right.
So don't feel bad about that at all.
Mm-hmm. Everybody don't always agree with us.
What I will say is this. People that are listening to the show, this is the motherfucker that talk about Arby's is good. I rest my fucking case. Let's get to the poll. That's y'all leader. Okay. Did you get a bonus? Did you get a bonus at your job? Yes, no, I don't have a job. Karen?
No.
You know I don't get a bonus. It's, we pay ourselves. Although, could I give myself a bonus?
Yes, you could. If you wanted to. Mm-hmm. It'd be taxed at a much higher rate.
Oh yeah, that's right. The tax implication. Nah, I'm gonna just keep paying myself the same amount every
particularly in North Carolina, they fucking kill you with that bonus.
Yeah, I don't know everything. I feel like I'm I don't need the IRS calling my house and shit. Like, nigga, this bonus, what's up with this? I don't know how it works. Anyway, yes, 50% of our audience got a bonus at their job. Good. Congratulations. Good for you. 45%.
A lot of jobs stopped doing that.
Yeah. And I used to do like, there was a company we used to get a bonus, but it was like $100. And so $100 taxed at fucking 60%.
Yes, like, North Carolina. Fucking ridiculous. Like, I said, they taxed it so goddamn high. You like, just give me a fucking gift card. The hell is this?
Yeah. 45% said no. I'm sorry. And 5% don't even have a job. And I've been there too.
Mm-hmm.
Been in all of these categories. EVE says, at my last corporate job, we got $25 gift cards as bonuses, and it was taxed. Damn!
Oh, so they just didn't go up the street and just get a gift card and give it to you, like most jobs?
I mean, do. I would feel sad for you, but $25 taxed is really like 3 meals at Arby's, so congratulations, I guess? Since you love it so much, why don't you marry Arby's?
Hmm?
Stefan said, EVE's been listening long enough that I know. She's laughing.
She get the jokes, yeah.
Stefan says, hi guys. I just see the impact in me, guys. I leaped out just now, fucked up my own good feelings of jokes. It was like, but what if her feelings are hurt from these jokes? I'm like, oh god, no.
She been around long enough.
Stefan says, hi guys. I just had a question for Rod. I heard you mention you watched The Leftovers. I'm a huge fan of the show. However, the show has so much going on. The last 4 episodes had me kind of confused on some things. However, I just wanted to know, what did you think of the show overall? How did you feel about the ending, and were you satisfied with how it ended? Thank you. Oh man, I really enjoyed the show because of the ending. I appreciated the ending because, I guess it's a spoiler, but it's old, right?
Yeah, it's been like 4 or 5 years now.
So the idea of like this alternate dimension Earth where the half the people had gone and the other half of the people had stayed on the Earth that we originally saw. And, I actually liked that. I thought it, for a Lindelof show, I had low expectations. I didn't think we would even get any real answers. I thought he was going to end it with the like, it's really about the journey. And no, he gave us definitive answers. I do find Lindelof, just like Lost, I found The Leftovers a little tedious, and we need to keep coming up with questions that are the answers to other questions thing. But, between the acting performances and that ending, I felt that it was enough of a payoff for me to at least admit it was a huge improvement over Lost for me. That being said, it does not even compare to Watchmen to me. Watchmen was fucking fantastic, 10 out of 10. I'd say Leftovers is probably like 7 out of 10 for me, maybe 6 out of 10, because there is a long wait for some of these answers. And the answering questions with question thing is weird. And that joint also had a magical Negro type thing happening in it. With some like niggas with it's like this witch that happens to be black, and this other person in the future and they black, and this other, I'm like, what's happening with all the black people with the powers? But yeah, other than that, I mean I really like the show, to be honest, man. And it introduced me to some good actors and stuff, so yeah, I liked it a lot. So hope that answered your question. All right, that's it for that segment. We also have some voicemail.
Okay.
704-557-0186 is the voicemail line. Make sure it's 2 minutes or less. You will get cut off.
Yeah, the voicemail don't play.
Yeah, so 704-557-0186.
And before you play it, I hope you, if y'all know it's not our voice, so if you're expecting to hear us, you're gonna be like, am I calling the right number?
Yeah.
Hey Rod, hey Karen. I was just calling because I was listening to the pregame yesterday. It was, I guess, the old pregame episodes. There's so many premium episodes, I don't always listen to them in order. But I haven't been listening to the main podcast. And Rod and Justin were discussing how you lost your mom. So I just wanted to send condolences and send you love. And
thank you, baby.
Your healing journey is going well.
It is.
Hadn't been listening to the main podcast because we lost 2 people in my family.
Oh, my condolences,
just this
baby.
Month alone. So, Don, Sam, and just want to send you guys love and tell you guys that I love you in the podcast, and I hope you guys are doing well. All right, Karen, love you.
Thank
love
you,
too,
baby.
Right,
thank
bye-bye.
You. Yeah, love back to you, man. Mm-hmm. For yourself and your family. It's, you know, it's hard. You know, like I say, mama said there's gonna be days like this, right?
For real. Like I said, them old folks saying, you go, whatever, mama.
Mm-hmm. But it's
real.
If
shit get real, you be like, oh, she knew what she was talking about.
That's what they meant. That's what I mean by mama say they going, okay, cool. Cause yeah, absolutely. Mama did say, and yes, it is.
She told me that and I blew her off, which she was right.
Yeah, we got a couple, podcast emails. Let me see if I can get to them because my computer's moving slow.
No problem.
The first one is from Bria, who says, please review Tyler Perry's A Fall from Grace on Netflix. I mean, I would, but guys, we just want him to do better. And so, we can't do that. Okay. We would just be encouraging him to not make Insecure level art. Okay. No, absolutely. We're going to review it. The title says it all. Hi, Rod. The title says it all. My boyfriend and I have watched the movie 3 times this weekend. Okay. It has provided us endless entertainment and hours of discussion. We really can't believe this movie got made at all. It's the most Tyler Perry movie that has ever Tyler Perry'd. I know this isn't a movie you would normally review. Yes, it is. But I would love if you and Justin dissect this movie, Bad Wigs and all. Yeah, I'm going to do a review with Justin and I'm going to do one with Karen.
Yes.
Also, I'm so, it's just, you guys can imagine, it's been busy. Right. So that's the only reason we haven't. I haven't even watched it yet. And I'm like,
that's the biggest reason why, because all the stuff happening this month.
I'm literally saving it like a treat. Okay. Looking forward to this. Also, I'm so sorry to hear about Karen's mother. Please let her know she is loved, supported. Thanks, Bria.
Thank you, baby.
Well, she knows. At least I try to make sure she knows.
Thank you.
And Crystal says, Uncle Tom history. Hello, Rod and Karen. I was perusing Facebook and came across this article. It's very interesting as it discusses the history of Uncle Tom and the man who inspired the story. I think of the rewriting of history often. Yeah, because that's a thing that's not well known. We call people Uncle Tom, but Uncle Tom in Uncle Tom's Cabin was not a coon. We just, like, somehow it became known through common nomenclature or whatever, through, you know, the rebranding of shit. Like, I think it was during like the 70s Black Power movement that the term Uncle Tom became this pejorative thing of like, this motherfucker's an Uncle Tom. But then if you read the book, it's like Uncle Tom was just a black man trying to do his best. He wasn't out here like selling out his people and shit. I think of rewriting about history often when they are changing the narrative of the textbooks, and obviously everyone is in an uproar, but we don't think about the true implications of this. In 100 to 200 years, when people think slavery truly was just a work for slaves who were paid in food and shelter, because that's what the textbooks told them. And people are wondering why African Americans are so angry about it. This is how it happens. I haven't researched the validity of this article, but wanted to share to find out if y'all knew all this. I certainly didn't, but do often wonder the true origins of the certain words, coon, Uncle Tom, etc. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read this whole thing yet. It's on Urban Intellectuals. So I don't know. This is not a site that I'm familiar with the validity of it or not.
Right.
So, but yeah, you can Google it, man. Like, it's like Uncle Tom's Cabin is not what you would think with the way we think of Uncle Tom, now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote it. Stowe's melodramatic story humanizes suffering of slavery for white audiences by portraying Tom as a Jesus-like figure who ultimately is martyred, beaten to death by a cruel master because he refuses to betray the whereabouts of two women who had escaped from slavery. Right. But that's not at all what the definition of an Uncle Tom is, you know. So anyway, that's it for today's episode, except for one thing. We did get one more card in the mail.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Paul Andre Joseph, we mentioned this already on Pregame and Balls Deep, which is where he emailed, but he sent us so much fucking sweets and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, baby.
Yeah, I'm on a diet, okay? I said, listen, Justin, I'm just going to pick out half of this stuff, and then you can have the other half.
Nobody's died. So.
I know Karen doesn't give a damn about me, my health, or any of you. She gonna do the podcast by herself as I just wither away. But
I do care about your health and you, but I said I'm not on diet, even though the stuff is written in another language. I know I can look at the, I know a gummy worm when I see one.
Let's not start the lies, okay? We know you don't care. But nah, we gave half to Justin and he got a bottle and we got a couple bottles, so thank you.
Thank you.
This one is from Miss Barnes, who writes, wishing you peace on the cover of it. Inside, to heal your heart and bring you comfort. It says, I'm so sorry to hear about your mother. May you find peace and comfort in this time. Love. And it says, something Cam Miss Barnes 72, aka Miss Barnes 72. Sonya, aka Miss Barnes 72. Okay, cool, got it.
Thank you,
we appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, we you know, like I said, it's been a hell of a week. We are about that time where we need to take a week off. I have to look at the schedule and see if it's gonna be this week or next week, but soon, my G's, okay? Gotta take some time off.
Yeah, this month has literally been something else.
And honestly, like, this was a day that I was like, when we get to this day, we can breathe and then start evaluating things. So we may not be doing regular shows this week, or we may. I mean, there are some things I want to talk about, mm-hmm. but pretty soon, one of these weeks, week off. So just be prepared. I won't see no complaining and stuff.
Actually, what happened? Where y'all at?
Yeah, you can complain. I don't care.
Let us know we missed.
Yeah, just let us know you missed us. So it's cool. But go listen to some of these other podcasts, okay? When we take some time off, there's a bunch of other black podcasts that mm-hmm. could use listeners and deserve listeners. They make really good stuff. So don't just only listen to us when we take time off. You know. All right, y'all. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.